Hey, Chris.
Hey, Dave.
What's going on?
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going good. I got a question for you.
What's up?
How can people get a hold of us for Lead 1212?
Oh, that's a great question. We've got a great looking website and we've got a lot of functionality on there. It's www.lead1212.com.
I'm glad something has functionality on it.
That's right.
Hey, everybody, check us out. This is Lead 1212, a podcast on Christ-centered leadership based on Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Thanks for listening. Now here's Chris and Dave. Hey, everybody. We're glad you're listening. We're excited that God's brought us together, and we know that this time together won't be wasted. Right, Chris?
That's right.
So, Chris, what are we learning about today?
Today, we're going to go along with something called followership. It's what makes a follower a good follower.
Right. And I think every one of us has to follow something or we'll never learn anything.
You know, you're exactly right, Dave. If you break it down, like I may be a leader at work, I'm also a follower at work. I can be a leader at home and I can be a follower at home. I'm a follower at church. You're a leader at church. We are followers probably more than we are leaders.
Amen. And I think one of the things that really good leaders learn how to do is to follow. Once you learn how to follow, then you can learn how to lead because you know what your expectations are because you were able to show those expectations to someone else.
You're exactly right. And has anyone ever laid out to you how to be a good follower?
I think we're going to do it right now.
You read my mind.
Yes, I did. I'll be here all week.
So up until now, we've examined how leaders affect the work of followers. We focused on how leaders motivate people to engage in adaptive work. And today, we're going to be concerned with followers and the critical role they play in the leadership process. Of course, the act of leading needs the act of following. Without followers, there can be no leaders.
Makes sense.
So for a lot of people, being a follower in the process of followership can have bad associations. Throughout history, it's only the leaders that take the center stage and not the followers. Children can be taught at an early age in school that it's better to be a leader instead of a follower. You know, in athletics, both you and I were athletes, recognition goes to the leaders and not the team members.
Amen. Well, with me, you're using that term loosely, but yeah, I tried, you succeeded.
Don't let him fool you. He was a great football player.
He was not, but that's okay. Keep going. You know, we got you.
When someone applies for a job, they're usually questioned about their leadership abilities and not their followership abilities. You know, it's evident society applauds leadership and not followership, and it's simply more interesting to discuss how leaders use their power than to discuss how followers respond to power. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think, you know, I grew up, not everybody can be a chief. And
that's
so
right.
The chief got there a certain way, and it wasn't because he just got promoted a lot of times. It's because he learned to lead.
Yes.
And he learned to lead by
learning to follow first.
You have to. I think it's a really good question. I think it's a really good thing to talk about.
Amen.
I'll be here all week. Thank you very
much. On board with this.
Amen and amen.
Here's the shocking thing. Well, it was for me anyway. Only recently have the academics begun to study followership. And only recently has anything been published about it. That came from Mendel in 1990 and Chaliff in 95. Before that, everything was focused on the leader only and not the follower and how the follower can affect the leader. No one paid attention to followers whatsoever until Mendel and Chaliff came out. Another guy came out with The Art of Followership, How Great Followers Create Great Leaders and Organizations. Think about that. Can a follower create a great leader?
Can a follower create a great leader? Yes, it has to happen, right?
I live that life every day. Got a lot of people that report to me at work, and they are very, very smart. They do their job. They know what they're doing, and they make my job a lot easier.
Amen and amen.
Here's another example. A soldier following orders from the platoon to complete a mission, or maybe passengers following the boarding agent's instructions to get on the plane, are good examples of being a follower, and they're positive examples of being a follower. Sometimes you can have negative examples of being a follower, too. What about the followers of David Koresh and the Branch Davidians, or followers of Jim Jones?
Yeah, they we can all be misled. And I think a lot of that is, and this is something that I've learned, when you are following someone, you need to always understand that the most important thing is, are they following Jesus? And if they're not, the Bible says bad company corrupts good character. And so if you're following the wrong lead, it will lead you down the wrong way.
So I'm going to let you teach a little on that, because you hit it on the head. Are you saying followers have a duty and a responsibility?
We do. And especially when you look at it from the perspective that we're supposed to follow Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In Philippians 2, amen. It says that we are to have an attitude that of Christ Jesus. And that means we are to what? Have an attitude of Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Sometimes I think we try to break all that down instead of really take what it says and do it. James says, don't merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourself, but do it. When we become doers of God's word, it changes everything, because we're following God, not the world. We need to follow people who follow God.
Oh, here we go. It started now. Oh, praise him. Hallelujah.
Always. Come on now.
I love that one.
Amen and amen. Great.
So following what you just said, followers have an ethical duty to consider the morality of their actions and the outcomes of what they do as a follower. And how do we as Christians know that? 1 John 4:1 tells us that we're to test the spirits and see if they are from God. And continuing on, 1 John 4:8 tells us that anyone who does not know love does not know God, because Amen. God is love. If your leader is teaching or guiding you out of love, that's really all you need to be worried about.
Agreed. I would take it one step farther, and that has to be the love of Christ.
Love of Christ,
and
yes.
I think that's the key right there, and that's where I think you're hitting it. I want to thank both of you for clapping on that one. But it's really important that you understand that I think sometimes we follow leaders that aren't following Christ
yes.
in the church.
We do,
and
you're
so
right.
I say this with love and with compassion. If your leadership's not following Jesus, if they're not showing the fruits and the evidence of Christ, yes. then you're probably at the wrong place, because they're following the wrong thing.
Amen to that. I couldn't amen that enough. That is beautiful.
Well, God uses you every once in a while. You just got to let him do it, right?
Yes, we do. That's exactly right. So now this is an interesting part. What types of followers are there? And I'm going to ask you to imagine this in your mind. There's two groups of followers. There's role-based and there's relational-based. A role-based follower are followers on a hierarchical system, like staff on an org chart. Those are role-based followers. You follow because the person is above you on the org chart. That's exactly where their power comes from. And the responsibility of that follower is to be an engaged follower and have a positive outcome on the organization.
It's a status thing. Is that
yes.
kind of what you got
yes.
going on? I get that.
The other type of follower is a relational-based follower, and it's from a social constructive perspective, such as, let's say, maybe a fitness instructor and an individual in an exercise class.
No, I thought I was exactly that one until you brought up the fitness part of it. But I do think I am a relational follower. I like to build those friendships that,
yes,
you know,
yes.
a concept. People don't care how much you know, they know how much you care.
Well, that's true.
Relationals, you know, you build that. And, you know, even like with me and you, we're learning each other. We're learning, you know, how we work on this stuff and
yes.
how to hang out. I think relational thing is you follow the other's lead and you listen to them and you learn. As long as they're following Jesus and you're following Jesus, well, Jesus won't lead you wrong.
Everything you said goes perfectly along with this study, except you were not taught any of that. You've just learned that as you've grown along.
Well,
and it's fantastic.
So now I don't know what to say. I'm blushing. Thank you. Yes, sir.
You are a leader at my church. I'm a follower of you at that church. We have a relational-based followership there.
Something I do want to say. But see, and here's the thing. I would never tell you that I'm in charge of Chris, because I'm not. I'm in charge of trying to do the best I can for Jesus, and hopefully Chris is following that with me. It's you've got the same purpose that you're trying to accomplish,
yes.
and someone may be just a different perspective than you have, or and it's not because of status or anything else. No. It's just because that's what God's given them. You understand pain where some people won't understand pain because you've experienced pain in your life.
Yes.
And you've related that pain to some of the pain that I have, physical pain.
Yes.
And that helps me understand I'm not alone. And all of a sudden you're building something that can grow into something incredible.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, whether you realize it or not, if you're a leader, you're the pastor, you're a leader, you influence people, whether you want to or not.
Because good, bad, or ugly, or indifferent.
Exactly.
That's right, 100%.
And it's my responsibility as a follower to test those spirits and not become another follower of David Koresh or Jim Jones or anything like that.
And that's what the scripture says.
That's exactly what it says.
Real quickly, because I think this is important, how do you test that, Chris?
I test that by seeing if it's from the love or the love of God.
Does it parallel with God's word?
Exactly.
If it, we teach that a lot at Christ Church. We taught that just this last weekend that I thought was a really powerful message. I wasn't preaching, so I promise. It was really good.
It was a great message.
And the important part of that I think we all need to grab onto is, are we following people that are following Jesus? I mean, it's got to always come back to that.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Gosh, that's so important. And we see examples of that all the time when that doesn't happen. And it can happen. And it can happen to anyone.
Amen. It does. And how many of you are listening and you've been led down the wrong way? I know I have, and even in church work. I thought there were things that I fought over that were not kingdom issues.
Yes.
And I think those are things that the devil tries to use against us, and it's ignorance. We need to make sure that if we're fighting over something, it's something that we think's important to advance the kingdom of God. If we're teaching Christian leadership, even whether you're at UK or that's University of Kentucky, for those of you listening,
not United Kingdom,
just in case, wherever you are, you're doing it because you want people to understand that you love Jesus, and that's the example you're going
to
set for them. And
amen,
I think
that. There we go.
That changes lives, guys.
Yes, it
changes
does.
Lives from the inside out.
Oh, you got them going now. Here
all
we
right.
go. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. I love that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Amen.
So now we know there's two types of followers. You remember that it's the role-based follower or the relational-based follower. And you're probably both types at various points in your
sure.
life and every day. But of those two types, the most recognized followership typology is something known as the Kelly typology. And it comes from Robert Kelly in his book, The Power of Followership. Mm. Kelly argues that the power of followers usually goes unrecognized. I would agree with that.
Sure.
Followers are a vital part of leadership process. This is what Kelly argues. Kelly emphasized that the motivations of followers and their behavior, and he used those to create the goal of followership, which he calls exemplary followership. And that means the highest level a follower can become.
Okay. So it's kind of I want to reach this mountaintop
yes.
type thing.
Now picture this in your mind. Followers have two styles, independent and critical thinking, or dependent and uncritical thinking. Can you think about followers that follow you at church, Dave, that go into each group, independent and critical thinking and dependent and uncritical thinking?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of it's just people will be more out to learn from you when you come with them with the right heart and the right attitude.
That's it. That's exactly it. So if we use those two dimensions, according to Kelly, we get five follower types. So these are the five types of followers that we all are. And just because you're one in one place doesn't mean you're the same one in another place. You can be a different type of follower everywhere that you're a follower. So the first of those five types are called passive followers. Some people refer to these people as sheep. And these are the people that look to the leader for direction and motivation. Have you heard of these? Do you have any people like that that follow you?
Sure. And, you know, I think in certain situations, that doesn't seem like it's a bad thing, but for the most part, they're not actually putting anything into it. And so, honestly, in that situation, it's not like they're doing what the shepherd says. They're just kind of back there not helping out and doing anything. Is that right?
That's right. But let me say this. There is a good time to be a sheep. Normally, it's not a good thing.
That's good.
But when we follow Christ, we are to be a sheep to his shepherd.
And yeah, and the Bible's very clear on that. We are a bunch of sheep. And the only way we can make it through this life is under his hand. And he's the shepherd.
Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
There you go.
So as a leader, do you want sheep following you?
No.
Very good. Very good. So let's move on. The second type of follower is the conformist. These are the yes men, the yes people. These are the people that are always on the leader's side, but they still look to the leader for direction and guidance.
And the problem with that is they're not, again, they're not helping the situation. They're just making the person think they're doing the right thing when they may be doing the wrong thing, and they're going to end up not getting anywhere, and then they're going to wonder why.
You're right. And, you know, there was a time when I was a fighter, when I was a top 10 fighter, yes, people kind of gravitated towards me. Everything that I said was the funniest joke they'd ever heard in their life, and every point that I made was absolute brilliance, and that can start to affect you.
That's because they were scared of you,
Chris. Well, I hope not.
Just a little bit. They saw what they said. The thing is, they didn't see the real you, or they wouldn't have been. And that's it, though. I think sometimes we gravitate towards things we think we want to be, and we don't really get to find out who that really is.
That's so true.
It's a... Golly, you can on each one of these, they have levels like onions that you can just
strip
away and look at different things, but we'll keep going.
So let's keep real on this one. When you have conformist followers, and I won't ask you to name any that you do, do they really contribute anything when they come to the meeting and just agree with everything you say?
No. In fact, if anything, they can mislead me.
True.
They can make me think I'm going down the right path. Absolutely not. And they didn't have enough gumption to tell me so.
That's a fair point. So the third type is an alienated follower. These are the people who do think for themselves, but they just bring a lot of negative energy, and maybe they're kind of the opposite of a conformist, and they'll be your no people.
Oh yeah. And another thing that can really hurt a leader is when all they're getting is cynicism.
True.
And, you know, negative Nancy, if you will.
That's a tough environment.
It is. And you're not going to grow. You're not going to do anything. You're just going to kind of sit there like you're walking on the same area over and over and over and over. And you're not getting anywhere.
No one grows, and it doesn't help anyone.
Correct.
So the fourth type is called the pragmatic followers. These are the fence sitters. These people support the status quo, but they don't get on board with anything until someone else does. They wait and see what the crowd does, and then that's what they're going to do as well.
Which, obviously, isn't good.
No.
Because we're not looking for people to follow everybody else. We're looking for someone to lead people to go the right way. And again, I have to reemphasize, as we talk about each of these things, think in the pattern of following Christ. Think
Amen.
In the pattern of, what's it look like for me to be a person following Jesus, leading other people to follow Jesus?
Oh, that's so good. Amen.
Right. That's the key, I think, for Christian leadership and Christ-centered leadership, which is our goal here.
So the fifth type, these are the types that Kelly called the exemplary followers. These are called the star followers. They're active, they're positive, and they provide independent, constructive criticism to the leader. They don't just complain. They tell them how to make it better.
And that's good. You have to have somebody that you're not afraid to argue with or have a differing opinion with, that you know that at the end of it, you both can come to a conclusion that may you both have some good insight to it. And so I think that's really important.
I know I've got a few people on my team that I really trust, and I would call them star followers. And when I have an idea that may be just a little too crazy, I'll pull them aside and say, Let me bounce something off of you. Tell me what you think about this. And I know they're going to tell me the truth. They're not going to immediately agree or disagree. And I really value that.
That's what we all need.
Do you have star followers, Dave?
100%. And I have people that I know that even if they don't agree with me, we can work it out.
Yes.
And follow together and learn to. Sometimes I think in leadership, you have to agree to disagree, but also work towards the final goal. And the goal is, what are you trying to accomplish?
Oh, I agree. I agree completely. So those are the follower types, according to Kelly. And we can break that down and say that the star followers have four qualities. They self-manage and think for themselves. They have a strong commitment to organizational goals. They build competence and they master their job skills, and they're ethical and courageous. We may not normally think of a follower as courageous, but if you're a star follower, you're courageous.
I think that's important. I don't know about you, but when I was in kindergarten, my goal was to get one of those stars.
I want a star. You're right.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny that we're back there in kindergarten trying to get that star, because I think that should be kind of what we're all trying to head to.
It is. And, you know, followership was so big, we decided to break this down into two episodes. This is the last topic we're going to cover in this episode, but it's an important one. It's called reversing the lens. This is something that just recently came out. In fact, my notes say it's the most recent study in followership. And it's, rather than focusing on how the leader affects the followers, we reverse the lens and we see how the followers affect the leaders. In this approach, we're interested in the impact of followers, their characteristics, and how their characteristics affect the leader's behaviors. Have you been affected by a follower?
Sure, 100%. I think everyone has had it in different ways. And we have to be honest about that. There's good and there's bad. And you have to shoot straight with yourself to figure out which one you need to follow. And hopefully it's good.
You're so true. The field of leadership is so young. We are just now beginning to study the impact that followers have on leaders. We've all felt it. We know it exists, but there's very few studies about it.
Yeah, I think one of the things we all need to work on, myself included, is why I lead. And it comes back to what we've been talking about. And we'll talk more about that in a few seconds.
Absolutely. So the last statement I've got about this, and this is regarding reversing the lens again. Leaders use their power to influence followers. And in turn, followers use their power to either comply or challenge the leader.
There you go. So what you're saying is we're working together.
Exactly. Leadership is a give and take. It's followers and leaders. We're together on this.
Amen. Amen. Matthew 16:24 says this, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me.'" The goal for this walk in life that we have is, am I following Jesus?
Amen.
In 14:6 of John, he says this, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'"
Amen.
You want to be a follower? Follow Jesus.
Yes.
That's the goal. That's what we have to do. That's what we want you to do. Tell us, maybe, if you will, some things where you've learned following Jesus changed your whole leadership pattern.
Yes.
Share with that with us. We don't want to just talk to you. We want to learn from you. So let us also be able to learn from some of the things that you want to share with us. We'd love to hear from you. How can they do that, Chris?
Go to lead1212.com.
Have a great day and God bless. This is an LBS production, which stands for pounds. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it also stands for laughing because we're saved. But we kind of like the pounds. So Chris will lift them and I will gain them, and we will have a great time. Thanks for listening.